Well, we're here in Providence, Rhode Island. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. And we are being hosted today by the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center in, again, Providence, Rhode Island. My co-host for this segment is the... I was going to make a joke, but I will not make the joke, is Jay Murphy, also of the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center and also Home Loan Bank. Welcome, Jay.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Good morning.
And our first guest is Pat Sabatino of Data Rista, and welcome.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good, thank you. Tell us, Pat, about Data Rista. What is it all about?
Certainly. So, you know, it's for people in the industry, you can get into the weeds really quick. Keeping it at a high level, we work with commercial data companies, companies that provide sales and marketing data, insights on your existing customers and new customers, keeping the top of the sales and marketing funnels full. We help them provide integrations into CRM and marketing automation platforms like Salesforce and Eloqua and Marketo.
So is it, you know, again, I'm trying to get a hold of, I'm not saying I'm the smartest guy. Is it like a bridge that helps facilitate the CRM?
It is a, it's a data integration platform. So you have all this external data that for over 100 years, I mean, the data industry itself dates back to the late 1800s when Montgomery Ward realized that people were moving west and we had this new RFD delivery service from the Postal Service, and he wanted to get things like cloth and furniture and plows and things into their hands where there were no stores. So he started making lists of settlers. Since that time, we've had a list industry we now call a data industry. And that data was always delivered to clients because every client was a destination of one. They had an on-premise computer, or they had a, what we would call service bureaus or letter shops or call centers or a marketing data warehouse. But every client was its own destination. More recently, we've now got SaaS-based platforms where you can find these multi-tenant cloud-based platforms that have tens or hundreds of thousands of companies in one place. So you have the ability to integrate products and services into these cloud-based platforms. And a lot of software companies have done it. You can get your email service provider integrated into the cloud. You can get, you know, DocuSign integrated in so you could sign documents. But data providers were still putting files out on FTPs or having APIs saying you can write to us to get data. They were still treating every client as a destination of one. I saw that as an opportunity to create a platform that would allow them to create apps, just like you have on your iPhone, right? Inside of these platforms that would allow the integration of their data products into these remote platforms.
So then you have mobile knowledge.
It's not mobile. The mobile would be if you were making phone apps. We're making apps that go into a CRM system instead of into a device into a marketing automation system. So if you go to Salesforce as an example, they have something called the App Exchange.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you can great side story. I used to work at Salesforce. The iStore, the Apple App Store, actually is modeled on Salesforce's App Exchange, which happened first. So the idea is that they have over 4,000 apps you could buy to improve the service of your CRM service, your system, on Salesforce's quote-unquote App Exchange. Well, we're just making data instead of a pile of data that comes in a file. We're making an app, a service for data.
Interesting. Very interesting. And so tell me, you said your background, you used to work for Salesforce. What is your background?
So I've been close to 34 years now in the commercial data industry. And we say data, we mean rows and columns, sales and marketing insights. We're not talking about, you know, storage. So I had started way back in 1985 working for a Chicago-based publishing company, Connors Publishing, which is now part of Reed Exhibitions. I worked for them in Stamford, Connecticut. I had worked for large companies the first half of my career.
Connors gave me my first list when I started my company.
I might have fulfilled it for you. But yeah, I had worked for them. I had worked for a large list company in Connecticut called Direct Media, which then became part of Axiom. Today it's part of Info Group. Around 2003, my wife and I moved up here to Rhode Island, and we became involved in several startups, a company called Market Models that we sold to Accudata in Florida, another company called CoRidge 360, which we sold to Accudata's parent company, another company called Got involved with Entierra, which we sold to FICO. And then I became involved with a startup in San Mateo, California, called Jigsaw, which was a big hit. We wound up selling that. It was with the earnout, $175 million. Salesforce acquired it. And during that time, I commuted from Rhode Island out to San Mateo or San Francisco, California, for Jigsaw or Salesforce for close to a decade.
Wow. So you really are hardcore history in the industry.
I consider myself, not only have I been in the data industry, standing on one street corner while the entire universe passes by me for 33, 34 years, I even consider myself a little bit of a historian of the industry. Data is in my blood. It's all I've ever done.
Wow. In terms of Data Risto, is there a specific type of client that you work with that finds the most benefit from what you're doing?
Absolutely. So the clients I work with are actually the data providers. So they're companies large and small. You know, like we have Axiom as a client of ours. And we have smaller vertical data providers like MCH in the healthcare space, Starista. We have Dodge Data, which is the former McGraw-Hill Construction in the construction space. These companies license their data. It's vertical agnostic. Doesn't make a difference if it's B2B or B2C or what vertical you're in. The business they're in is licensing sales and marketing insights and knowledge. And they are just looking to us to provide a better delivery experience to their customers. So instead of having data as a commodity, a big pile of data that the end user, their customer, then has to take and do something with it, we're providing that that data as a service, that utility for the data, by matching it to the data that's in their CRM and marketing automation systems automatically, updating it automatically. So when it changes at the data provider, it changes in the remote system automatically. And we're making available new records, top of the funnel, net new, that they can market and sell to, integrated inside of those business processes.
Wow. Now, you're also the founder of the Rhode Island Coalition for Entrepreneurs. Now, we're sitting in the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center, mm-hmm. which my friend to my right and his family started for entrepreneurship. Tell us about yours.
Sure. So, you know, it's a funny story. As I had mentioned, I'd been commuting back and forth to California. So I lived here, but I was not immersed in the business network here. And when I went to found Data Risto, the first thing I was going to do was found it in Silicon Valley. I had some colleagues I was going to work with. I had some engineers I had worked with in the past. And I thought, I've got my team. I'm all lined up. I'm going to do this. And then I stopped and I paused. And I said, this is 2005. It's at this time now 2015. Do I really need to do a tech startup in Silicon Valley anymore? I mean, there are really talented people everywhere. So I stopped and I rethought about it. And I said, nope, I'm going to do this startup here in Rhode Island. And of course, being New Englanders, the very first thing all my neighbors said, what are you, stupid? You're not going to find the money. You're not going to find the talent. The government is terrible. A million excuses why it's just not going to work here. Because we have a knee-jerk reaction here in New England to be negative to anything new.
Right.
That said, I ignored them all and I did it anyway. And you know what? I have found the talent and I had found the money and the funding and I've made a great run of it. But what I started to note was, here I am in the middle of Providence in my own backyard. I live in a neighboring town. And I'm not connected to the business community. I didn't know where to get the financing. I didn't know a good lawyer or a good accountant, or I didn't actually know anyone. I was a stranger in my own neighborhood when it came to the business environment. So I started looking at a variety of kind of networking events. We had the Providence Geeks for a long time. We had the Founders League that, mm-hmm. that held these wonderful networking events. But I found that they were kind of open to anyone who could just spell startup. Someone who once worked at a startup 20 years ago, someone right. who aspired to work at a startup at some point in their life.
Right.
I really felt like there was a need to have something a little bit more for the actual founders and CEOs of these high growth startups. And there was nothing. And at one point I was actually talking to an entrepreneur who had a business, and there was another entrepreneur within a mile of their business who had an adjacent business, and they could be working together in their startups, non-competitive, didn't even know each other. I said, that's it. I'm gonna form this networking group. And that's how it started. It was originally just to be a networking group. It would be limited only to the entrepreneurs, founders and CEOs only. and that we would go out and we would gather these founders and CEOs and we'd just have a networking meeting. Maybe someone had done an A round in the past, or I've raised seed money. Maybe someone knew a good marketing freelancer. We could be our own best resource. And along the way, it kind of morphed. You know, I've raised about $3 million from my startup. And two-thirds of that money came from out of state. But 85% of my expenses are spent here in our state. And I started to realize, you know, startups and entrepreneurs are actually an economic block here in our state, and in every state for that matter, right? The Angel Capital Association has done some wonderful research on the value of startups. I would encourage people to go find their research. So I thought, well, not only could we be an advocacy group, but we should also, not only should we be a networking group, but we should be an advocacy group, and we should harness all of our people together. Because when I tell my story and it gets a polite little golf clap, that's great. But if you multiply that by 40 or 50 or 60 entrepreneurs, we're bringing jobs, we're filling up the buildings, we're paying taxes. I have an engineer who lived in Brookline, Massachusetts, who relocated to the east side of Providence, right behind us here, to take a job to work for me. So there are people who want to work in Providence and work in all the cities around the country at these startups. Startups have great value, and we're just doing our part in the local ecosystem to kind of call out that value to the people at the state and city governments and to the universities, et cetera.
Oh, great. So you really are good for the economic foundation of the state. If somebody wants to find, first of all, Darista and you, how would they do that?
Well, you can find us on the web at datarista.com, DataRista.com.
Right.
And for the Rhode Island Coalition, you can find us at ricoalition.org.
Well, that's a nice, easy one to find.
If you could spell coalition. It's amazing how many people can't spell coalition.
Will you come? this time I'll pronounce it correctly. Will you come back again and talk to us about Datarista?
Absolutely.
Very interesting. So we're going to take a break. I'll remind everybody that my name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm here with Jay Murphy of the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center in Providence, Rhode Island. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.